Good morning once again, and welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the Epistle of Paul to Titus, and our text is Titus chapter 2 in verse 13. We're going to be focusing on these three words: the blessed hope. Now, these three words are set within the context of one of the most theologically loaded passages of Scripture. Beginning in verse 11, we read, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." So we're going to expound our text with the following three points this morning. First, with regard to the facts which provide the basis for our certain blessed hope. Secondly, the present results of having a blessed hope. And third, the future fulfillment of our blessed hope. The facts which provide the basis for our certain blessed hope. The grace of God. The grace of God. Now, Thompson's defines grace divine as God's, quote, "unmerited favor available to the sinner for salvation and the redeemed for victorious living." It is 100% God and 0% man. This is the grace of God. Now, many folks, when you ask them if they believe that they will go to heaven when they die, they will say, "Well, I hope so," but they are quite unsure. Not so for the Christian. The Christian says, "Indeed, for sure and for certain, I have that blessed hope because it's all of God's grace. And I rest my hope not upon what I did or what I'm doing, but upon what my great God and Savior Jesus Christ has done." We Christians know that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The grace of God. The second fact which provides for the basis of our blessed hope is God's provision of salvation. God's salvation is available to all who place trust in the fact that Jesus Christ died to save from sin and their consequence, namely, spiritual death. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you have to do this morning to make your peace with God and to be accepted by Christ in His kingdom. The third fact which provides the basis for the blessed hope is the divinity of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see that in our text in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." He is both. This is one of the most clear and powerful statements of His divinity in all of Scripture. Indeed, it is necessary to believe that Jesus Christ is both God and Savior to be saved. The blessed hope that we Christians enjoy is the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person. That is one of my favorite phrases in all of Scripture. Jesus Christ is the express image of his person, the express image of the Father. And that phrase comes from the imprint of a stamp upon a coin. So that when the Romans would stamp the coins, they would stamp the image of Caesar onto the coin, and that image would be the same on every coin. It would be identical in every way. And so it is that Jesus Christ, in all of his attributes of divinity, is identical to God the Father. This is what Paul is teaching in the Epistle to the Hebrews. The express image of his person, in upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Our blessed hope is based on the work and promises of God himself, who dwelt among men. We do not rest upon the words of fallible men, but upon God, the infallible God, whose word is trustworthy, whose words are pure words, and our God who fulfilled inspired prophecy. And this is why in your bulletins you'll see where we'll have the little recap of the sermon, and there's a section there that says related scriptures. And this is so that you can go home and look over these things and you can see that all of these words and all of these doctrines are the pure words of God. And it is in him we put our faith. We have a great God and a great Savior. In fact, Jesus Christ himself, not Muhammad or anybody else, is the prophet spoken of in Deuteronomy chapter 18. The God-man, Jesus, the one upon whom men must believe and to whom we all must give account. The divinity of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The fourth fact which provides the basis for our blessed hope is Jesus' redemption work. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. See, the death of Christ paid the penalty for sin. Therefore, believers have the blessed hope because sin, and therefore death also, for the scripture says that the wages of sin is death, have no power over you, Christian friend, anymore. The basis for our blessed hope, the grace of God, the salvation of God, the divinity of Jesus Christ in his redemptive work. And we've got one more set within the context of these three words, the blessed hope. The fifth fact that provides a basis for the blessed hope that we have is the status of believers as what the Apostle Paul calls God's own special people. Isn't that beautiful? If you are a believer in God through Jesus Christ, if you are a blood-bought believer, if you have trusted in that shed blood on the cross, that has paid the penalty for your sins, that Christ died, that He was buried, and that He rose again, and that the risen Lord, even now, has prepared a place for you in heaven, then you are blessed and special indeed. Those whom God calls special are special indeed. They are His treasured possession. And He guides them as the sheep of His pasture. Of Christian believers, Jesus said this. Jesus talking about His special people. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of My hand. My Father who has given them to Me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. If you'll not believe My words, believe Jesus' words. Surely, we have great basis for the blessed hope. The grace of God, the salvation of God, the divinity of the God-man Jesus Christ, His redemptive work, and His grafting us into His family as His special people. Look at all that He has done. Is it not reasonable for us to respond in kind and live our lives for Him? And so we come to our second point this morning. The present results of having a blessed hope. There is a progressive denying ungodliness and worldly lusts as the Christian believer undergoes the continual process of sanctification. What is sanctification? Sanctification is a theological term. It's one of the three stages of salvation. The first stage of salvation is justification. And that is when God declares the believer just because he or she has placed faith in the only begotten Son of God. That's the past tense, if you will, for the believer. That occurs the hour you first believed. Then the second stage of salvation is entered into by the believer, and it's called sanctification. And sanctification is the continual process of being set apart as holy for Christ's service. The third one, of course, is glorification. And that's the end of our blessed hope, and we'll get there in due time in just a few moments. The world's offerings pale to nothing compared to the blessed hope that we have. The Christian is empowered by God the Holy Spirit unto these three things, according to our text in the book of Titus. Sober living, right living, and godly living. In verse 14, we read that the true Christian is, quote, zealous for good works. We love him because he first loved us. Therefore, we desire to follow the scriptural command presented by the apostle of grace. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We talked about the grace of God, the salvation of God, the divinity of Christ, His redemptive work, and His grafting us into His kingdom as His own special people. Is it not reasonable for us to respond in kind by serving Him? So we pray. We give, we evangelize, we love, we speak truth. And we get on board with God's program, promoting Christ's kingdom, not half-heartedly or under coercion, but with zeal. How many of you here this morning can honestly say that you are promoting the kingdom of God zealously? Just consider that within your own heart before God. How you're using your time and your energy. We have sporting events. We got, you know, football games that are going on today, hockey games, right? And you know how zealous people can get for the home team? Right? They paint their faces and they, you know, they've got all the shirts and they're, you know, they're walking around and they're telling everybody how, you know, how great their team is, and they have, you know, all of these talk shows and things where they just talk over and over about all of the things that are going on. Are you like that with regard to Jesus Christ, who's done so much more than your favorite team? Do you worship God as much as you participate in fanfare and sporting events? Just something to think about. Our third point this morning is the future fulfillment of the blessed hope. The glorious appearing. The glorious appearing. We have that in our text. And it is a reference to the second coming of Christ. And this promise of the second coming, of the glorious appearing, gives us the sure blessed hope that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Having taken care of the sin problem by His sacrificial death, in His first advent, Jesus shall bring about the full consummation of the blessed hope of all believers in His second advent. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. When Jesus Christ returns, it will be a complete redemption, a completed salvation. Not that anything needs to be added to the finished work, but I speak of the purification of the believer from every lawless deed and the perfection of body and spirit, which shall be prepared to be in the very presence of God forever, free from sin and free from corruption. The blessed hope. God's done all these things for you. God continues to do all of these things for you. And He's not even finished. I'd like to read now an extended passage from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning in verse 41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead. The resurrection of the dead and the second coming of Christ are part and parcel of the blessed hope which Paul speaks of in our text. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about the new birth, right? One is born into the world physically by water. And we're called to be born again. Born of the Spirit. This is the second birth. The spiritual birth. The first is the natural birth. And the second, the spiritual birth. This is an explanation of John chapter 3. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. This is the God-man, Jesus Christ. This old body and this tired spirit shall be completely regenerated and redeemed and prepared to be in the presence of God forever. This, friends, is the blessed hope. So this morning, my prayer is threefold. First, if you are a mature Christian, that you are encouraged and exhorted to live more and more godly in this present age. Secondly, if you are a newer Christian, that you might be instructed in the basic doctrines of the faith and the work of Jesus Christ. And third, if you are not a Christian and you cannot honestly say that you are a Christian today, that you consider these things and that you step out in faith and that you become one. And if you do, on the authority of God's word, the Spirit shall work in you and implant in you the blessed hope. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray all of these things after this manner. We thank you for your word, your grace, your salvation, your redemption, your presence here today. In the future, and the hope that you've promised your children. Lord, may each of us receive spiritual blessing and direction according to this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, well now offer